going to be June the 27th at 6 o'clock in the Educational Building. Okay? I woke up Monday morning. Boy, the Lord just gave me a good old whooping and said, you need to do something because we got so many men that want to get involved. And so it's going to be like a meet together. We're going to eat together. And I've asked David Kitchens if he would share a testimony or a devotional, whatever you want to share. He's one of our new men here, and so we're going to do that. So I'm not sure how it's going to work when the small groups start, but anyway, we're going to meet at least three or four times before that happens, and if the Lord carries it on, he carries it on. My thing with the small groups, y'all know we talked about this, a lot of you are new, so you hadn't heard it. But in our small groups, we didn't want to divide the family so much that we had the women's minister here, the men's minister here, and then, you know, one or two nights a week, they're going different places and all that stuff. We want to keep our families together as best we can. But anyway, we'll talk more about that later. But that's the gist behind the whole thing is small groups is to be community and family. And so, hallelujah, we'll get it going on. But it's good to see y'all. Y'all look good tonight, man. You look good. Couple more things. Pastor Lindsay's offering was awesome. I appreciate y'all that. I'm not going to tell you what it was because he's watching and he don't know yet, but y'all did awesome. Y'all really blessed them, and I appreciate that. And we went over, Monday night and spent time with them and talked with them. And this is what he said. He said, out of 28 years of ministry, nobody's ever done anything for their family. And so y'all are awesome. So thank you so much for blessing him. And they're worth being blessing. Amen. Trying to think of anything. Am I missing something? You look like a deer in headlights. Okay. I don't mind putting you on the spot. Anybody got anything? I feel like I'm missing. That's right. You see there? Tommy's dad's not been doing good. He sent me a message today. And that's what it was that y'all pray for him. Also, Jonathan Edwards' brother was killed yesterday. The one that I was talking to, messing with Sunday morning, the gentleman that walked out, he come back in and stuff. His mom's been coming a lot to the church, and they're getting ready to move back here from somewhere, wherever they live. I don't know. They live a long ways off. And so the brother was in Florida and got killed yesterday. So they're having to deal with that. So y'all please pray for him, his family, his mom, and dad especially. Yes, sir. Stepbrother has stage 4 cancer. Okay, we'll pray for him. Yes, ma'am.
Jordan, sick, bacterial infection, bronchitis, whatever it is now, no one's getting sick. So.
Oh, mercy. Okay, pray for their family. Yes, ma'am.
I have 2 people at work that asked me to put their family members on our prayer list. One is Nelson Wilson. He's an older fella, and he has really bad cancer. I think it's stage 4 going on.
Okay. Yeah. Stephen?
The Dangler family, they've got a girl that they've been fostering for 3 years, and the parents are trying to get back to get in and become theirs.
Okay. Amen. Pray about that. Paul? Okay. Yeah, I talked to her the other day. She's just real weak. She's been through a lot. That's Steve and Shirley. For some of you who don't know them, Steve served on the board. They've always been very faithful. When COVID hit, she's got so many problems that she's had to stay home. They don't go anywhere. Paul goes, checks on them some, but just pray for them. There's several of our older folks that hadn't been able to come back to church. And I can't even imagine how that would be. They'd drive me crazy. And so y'all pray for them and lift them up in prayer. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I go Friday for the removal off my leg, so just pray that it comes back to something.
Amen. Okay.
All my history in the family, so.
All right. Pray about that. Curtis?
A couple years ago, his mom and his dad died.
Mercy. Okay, we pray for them. It's terrible. We got a lot of stuff going on. We went in to Elray Sunday, and a guy stopped me, and he asked me to have the church to pray for him, that he's got pancreatic cancer. And this guy does prison ministry for me. So I prayed for him, and then I got to thinking over there when we were sitting there eating. We had about 10 people out in the out in the front waiting to get a seat. And I said, that's the church right there. So I went out there. He was leaving. I went out there. I said, grabbed him. I said, Carl, I said, see a bunch of crazy people right out there. I said, they go to my church. I said, I want you to let them pray for you. So I went back in and sat down. I just got to watch everything. It was awesome. And he went out there and it looked like they surrounded him, boy. They just, I was like, woo. So they prayed for him. And I talked to, saw the pastor's wife this morning and asked her about him. And he is going Monday for some tests and stuff. And so we're just believing that God's going to heal him. He's an awesome guy. So we're believing in that. Yes, ma'am. Randy that was here last week, I checked on him, and he came up to me after service. We had a meeting for Alaska, and he told me that during the service when we prayed for him that his back, he felt a tingling in his back, and his back stopped hurting. And so I checked on him today, and he said that, you know, he's doing better, but he still needs some prayer. So keep praying. You know, when Jesus prayed for the man that was blind, he put spit in the mud and put it in his eyes. And the first time he said, I see men as trees. Well, he prayed for him again and he was healed. Sometimes it's a process. Amen. And so if you're not 100% healed from what you've been praying for, don't give up. It's a process sometimes. Sometimes it's instantaneously. Sometimes nobody ain't got to pray for you. We've had people healed here that nobody wasn't even praying for them. Nobody touched them. Nobody had to lay hands on them, anoint them with oil or anything. And then we've had people that got healed through a process. So we believe in all of it. Amen? Yes, sir. Randall?
I've been dealing with a kidney problem for the last about 3 weeks. Taking medicine. I've got some more medicine.
Okay. Pray for you. Yes. Teresa? Stand up where they can hear you, please. There you go. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. And I told y'all about Jeff's wife Janice Sunday morning, but man, that's a miracle. And I'm so glad we serve a God that's doing stuff like that. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
I do have one more thing.
One more.
Praise God.
All right. Awesome. Amen. Got two back there. Go ahead. Yeah, you're first. Awesome. That's good. Amen, Kevin. Amen. Is it fair to say we got a lot of stuff going on? We got a lot of stuff going on. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Amen. Pray they have a heart change. They have a heart change, because when their heart changes, then their mind will change and everything will change. So pray for a heart change with them, and pray that conviction comes upon them. And I'm kind of a little radical sometimes, not all the time, but I'm as bold as say, pray them out. If they ain't going to vote the way God would have them to vote, then yeah. Anyway, you can take it any way you want to. Everybody else good? I tell you what, let's do. Let's everybody stand. And y'all heard there's a lot of prayer requests. There's a lot of sickness, a lot of stuff going on. But I know that God's faithful. Amen. How many of you have ever been touched by the Lord and healed before? Amen. He's a healer. And guess what? He hadn't stopped. And sometimes, just to be honest, sometimes when people asked us to pray, if we were all to be honest, sometimes we don't take it as serious as we should. Just truth, you know. But when it's us, heck yeah, we want somebody to take it serious. So we got so much stuff going on tonight. I want to take a few minutes. I'm going to get Tommy to play some type of worship song. I'm going to open up these altars. If you want to stand in the gap for someone, if you want to intercede for someone, you just want to come pray. Doesn't matter. We don't have an agenda here. We want the Spirit of God to move. And there's so much stuff going on that I want to give the Holy Spirit opportunity to move and to do what He wants to do. Guess what? It doesn't matter whether in a bedroom somewhere, in a hospital room somewhere, in a drug house somewhere. Holy Spirit can go anywhere. He can be anywhere, everywhere, all the time. And so let's kind of petition Him. You know, we got to be careful sometimes. We can't command Holy Spirit to do anything. So we got to be careful when we pray and when we say things, because first of all, He's a gentleman. He's in control. And we're supposed to follow Him. He don't follow us. But we can petition Him, and we can ask Him to move and to touch and invite Him into situations. And I just heard a bunch of situations that He needs to be invited in. And there's a bunch that wasn't said tonight that He needs to be invited in. So let's just take some time and pray. Amen. He said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And sometimes I think it's the least thing we do in churches sometimes. Amen. So don't get in a rush. You can sit down where you want to. You can come up here. You can walk. You ain't going to scare me. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm going to go over here and get my little happy place, and I'm going to kneel, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to make petitions to God through the Holy Spirit for all these needs as the best as I can remember when he brings them back. And let's invite him to move. And whatever else, don't just put him in a box for what we're talking about for healing. It could be any. If you got salvation that needs to come to your family, healing, restoration, whatever it is, let's give him an opportunity to move, okay? So, Tommy, you do whatever you feel led to do, and I'll come back in a little while. Amen? God bless you.
You are here, you're moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, you're working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, you're moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, you're working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. And you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, you're touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, you're turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, oh, you're mending every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, you're turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And that is who you are. 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 You're working, even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even even if I don't see it to work it, even when I don't feel it, you working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you working. Even when I don't feel it, you working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you working. Even when I don't feel it, you working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop. You're a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And that is who you are. 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 And that is who you are. 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 Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me from the ashes, you have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. Faithful you are, faithful forever you will be, faithful you are, oh yes you are, and all your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen. Faithful you are, and faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are, oh yes you are, and all your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen. So faithful you are, faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are, oh yes you are, and all your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. We claim your promises tonight, Lord, over our families, over our situation. We find peace in your goodness, Lord. I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. And I will rest your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. So faithful you are. Faithful, forever you will be. So faithful you are. And all your promises are yes and amen. So faithful, faithful you are. Faithful. Promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. And all your promises are yes and amen. Oh.
for the powerful name of Jesus. Now and forever, God, you reign. And yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. And what a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, He's my King. What a powerful name it is, and nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. For you have no rival, and you have no equal, now and forever. Jesus Christ, my King, what a powerful name it is, and nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is.
Great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Come on, let's put our hope in Him tonight.
Who could imagine so great a mercy? And what heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior,
I'm yours forever, Jesus Christ, my living hope. And hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Sing hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on. Come on, sing it again, church. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. And out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Sing hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are.
Yeah, he's our living hope, church. He's our living hope. He's not dead. He's not in the grave. We just sung about it. He's not in the grave. He's alive. He's alive more than ever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And you know, we prayed tonight, but guess what? And I've taught this before, but some of you are new. Do you know that the greatest prayer warrior ever lived is Jesus? The greatest intercessor ever lived is Jesus. And he's alive and seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says that he is interceding and praying for us right now. Wow. What a prayer warrior we have. What a prayer friend we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We love to worship you, Lord. We love to worship you, Lord. And I thank you that your promise is that you inhabit the praise of your people. You come down and you dwell among us. And you move and you minister. And you do things that we don't even see that you're doing. And we talked about that Sunday a little bit. But thank you that you're moving. Like the song says, even when we don't see it, you're moving. We know that you're moving, Lord. We know that you're changing lives. We hear testimonies almost every single week, after every single service, we hear some kind of testimony of what you've done, the goodness and faithfulness of God, touching your people, healing your people, saving your people, and doing a work that only you can do. We give you praise for that, Lord. We love you. We honor you. We love coming in here together with our brothers and sisters in Christ and just sharing our hearts with you and embracing you. And God, we just give you praise for tonight. We thank you for your word. And Lord, help me to preach it the way you'd have me to, Lord, so that we would be doers of your word, not just hearers. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. That was awesome. Good worship. Good prayer. Amen. I'm looking for good reports. So you get a good report, I want to hear about it. All right? If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to talk a few minutes about kingdom family. We've been talking about that. And we talked about a little bit about the rule of Christ, the rule in our families. I talked about how we're supposed to, or I gave you some advice on how I felt like you should, you know, raise your children and stuff. And hopefully you got some good stuff from that. But tonight we want to talk about authority. Authority is a powerful thing. We're going to talk about the husband, the wife, and the children. And we're going to talk about different things as far as I can get. But the rule in our life and in our family should reflect God. We're created in his image. Everything that we do should be a mirror image of him. Amen? Seriously, everything that we do should be a mirror image of him. Is that hard? Absolutely. If it was easy, anybody could do it. But it takes someone, I believe in my heart, I believe someone to truly walk in the authority and the power of God is someone to be filled with the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit of God, praying and seeking God's face. Amen. And living away from the life of sin and trying to walk as close as you can to God with all this within you, including his Spirit. Amen. And so that is not the correct way in the world's eyes to live and to raise your family. The way that we're trying to raise our children and the things that we're trying to teach our children is not the ways of the world. We've talked about that. But we know that. But sometimes I don't know we know that. Amen. Because sometimes when you see the way people raise their children, you sit and you think to yourself, what in the world are they thinking? They got the same Bible I got. Some of them go to the same church we go to. Not this church, surely. And you wonder what in the world is going on in our society. And we talked about dysfunctional families last week. And one of the things that I did not get to talk about, I've got it written down here. And when we allow our children to rule the house... Now, I don't mean stand up with a belt and whoop mom and daddy. That probably ain't going to happen. I hope that don't happen. If it does, you need help. You need help. You need way more help than I can give you. You need to go somewhere else, somebody else, if that's the case. I pray to God that ain't the case. But when we allow the children to run the house and the children to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it, you are doing them a huge injustice. Huge injustice. You're doing the school teachers a huge injustice. You're doing the children's pastors a huge injustice. You're doing the youth pastors a huge injustice. You're doing everybody a huge injustice. Oh, Lord, do I say it? Because you're raising brats. You're raising brats. My mom and dad would never, ever, ever, never, ever, never, 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 ever let me talk back to them and do the things that I see kids do today. And see, now listen to me. Steve Hill, great man of God, preached a great revival in Pensacola, Florida. Thousands upon thousands saved and healed and set free and just a mighty move of God. He made this statement, and it goes with this too. What when one generation tolerates, the next generation accepts. What one generation tolerates or goes along with or allows to take place, the next generation will just accept it. And oh my Lord Jesus, do we not have an accepting generation now? We have a mess. And see, those of you that have children, mine's grown, but those of you that have children, you are having to raise your children against the grain. Against the grain. You know, I used to think my mama was bad because she wouldn't let me go over to somebody's house because they drank a beer. My mama would not let me go across the street and play in somebody's yard because the man of the house drank beer. They wanted to go to the lake. I could not go to the lake because the man drank beer. He, far as I know, he wasn't a drunk. I never seen him drink, but my mama knew he did, and my mama didn't want me around it. Now, did that stop me from drinking? Heck no. But I learned a lesson from it. My mom was trying to raise me in a godly fashion. And so today, before we get started on the other stuff, I'm closing out last week talking about rule, having rules in your home, how to discipline your children. How many was not here last week? Okay, got a couple. If you wasn't here, go back and watch, because last week we talked about ruling and different things. But this is what happens. You sit and you let your kids, now we see it and you see it, they grab that little phone. I'm talking about from the age 3 years old, they know how to run a phone better than you know how to run a phone. 3, 4, 5 maybe. I might be exaggerating a little bit. But what do? If they get unruly and we don't want to deal with it, you slap a phone in their hand. And that's your pacifier. Oh, they ain't sucking it, but they playing it. It's the same thing. It's something to get them from you having to deal with them. You don't get mad at me when I say, you know it's a dang truth. I mean, don't get upset with me. I'm just going to tell you the truth, and then you can raise your kids the way you want to. And I'll deal with them a couple of years over here at the prison. Okay? Whew. Boy, a preacher down there. My kid ain't going to prison. Yeah, I know. Okay, that's good. That's fine. My mama raised two the way I said that I was raised, and they went to prison. Don't think that your kids are above that. Matter of fact, this entitlement generation, that's where most of them are heading. Our camp is so full of young people right now, it's crazy. Have no desire to do anything. Entitlement. They think they run the dang camp. Your kids think they run everything. And so let me get back. You let them watch whatever they want to watch on the phone and play with the phone and learn all kinds. And they're seeing stuff you don't know they're seeing. They ain't supposed to be seeing stuff you shouldn't be seeing. They seeing. And we give it to them as a pacifier. And then we set them down in front of the TV. It was Barney for Allison. I love you. You love me. We're a happy family with a great big hug and a kiss from me and you. Won't you come and love me too? Or something like that. I missed the last of it. I used to sing out with her and me and her would watch that, you know. But now today, Grand Theft Auto. I'm going to say this and you can get mad at me if you want. And I know you listening. And I know I'll get some hate mail. If you let your kids play Grand Theft Auto and you let your kids play these soldier games that's killing people, cutting people's head off, ripping them out of a car, you're stupid. I said it. God, I shouldn't have said that word. You're dumb. What word do you use for that? Some of y'all look at me like, what word do you use for that?
Ignorant.
Is that better than stupid? Okay, you're ignorant and stupid then. No, you shouldn't do it. Come on, people. What are you doing? That's why our kids are so sent. I know I'm not talking to anybody in here. I'm just talking to them. I know. Our kids are so desensitized to killings. And when I was young, I didn't want to be around a funeral home. Now, kids that run around and play in the funeral home, it don't bother them a bit. Man, I was like, heck no. They're not afraid of death anymore. Why? They see it all the time. They see it on the TV. They see it here. They see it there. They hear about it everywhere. They're not scared. And you letting them play them stupid games is crazy. So stop. Oh, they'll get mad. They'll what good? Let them get mad. Bust their stinking butt. Because you need George busted if you don't. Oh, yeah. See, I've been doing real good for about 3 or 4 months. I have. Matter of fact, Dan gave me a great compliment. Can I tell this, Dan? Hallelujah. Dan called me Monday and he said, Pastor, he said, I just want you to know something. He said, you've been preaching so good here lately. He said, matter of fact, he said, it brought to my attention about what Jesus, when Jesus was at the marriage feast and they run out of wine and they brought the wine out and they gave the wine to the attendants, to the people there. And the man looked at it and said, this is strange. Usually you save the best wine. You save the best wine first and let them drink the bad wine last, right? Because I mean, you get it. You see what I'm saying? He said, you do it. You giving us the best messages now. I said, well, Dan, think of it like this. If you could put up with my crap for 15 years bad, just think what it's going to be when it's good. No, but guys, listen. Do you love your children? If you love your children, then let them get mad. I'm way ahead of. God's word does not conform to you. God's word don't conform to your children. And God's word don't conform to the world or anybody else. God's word is God's word. And we have a society right now. I got a phone call from a pastor this morning. All distraught. Someone in their church has come out that's living a bad lifestyle. Got a girl, got a girlfriend. Okay, I'm just going to say, a girl got a girlfriend. And the mom says, don't you judge me for the way I treat my daughter and what I do with my daughter. It's my business. Well, let me tell you something. I'm telling my church this, and I've said it before. It ain't your business. It's God's business. And God tells you how to handle that mess, and you better handle it. There is a homosexual spirit that's sweeping through our schools, sweeping through our middle schools, our grammar schools, and the church ain't doing nothing about it. The church ain't saying nothing about it. It's a spirit. And you better listen, and you better pray it off your grandkids and your kids. Because it's accepted everywhere. And we have had people leave the church. He's probably going to lose this person because you tell the truth. What the Bible says. Everybody says, I just want to know what the Bible says. You tell me what the Bible says. You preach out of the Bible, we good. And then you preach out of the Bible, and they good. Yeah, they good. They good to go somewhere else. And I'm telling you, it's a spirit that's attacking our children everywhere. And if the church don't stand up against it, and the church keeps their mouth shut, or the church takes this philosophy, I'll treat my children the way I want to. Listen, you better love everybody. You better love them. And if they come out and they say something like that to you, your kids, you better love them. But the Bible says, and this is the difference, if they call themselves a Christian and they're living that way, you're not even supposed to fellowship with them. Oh, Lord. That sure enough ain't in here. So maybe I just need to read. Watching crazy mess on TV. Trouble videos. Going places you know they shouldn't go. Hanging out with people you know they shouldn't hang out with. Always getting their way. No discipline. That's what's wrong with our children today. So-and-so's having a party. Well, go ahead. Who's so-and-so? Where's the party at? Who's going to be at the party? What's going to be going on at the party? You not ever think about asking questions? Now, I lied to my mama. I tell my mama I was going one place and I go somewhere else. My mama should have called. She didn't. Amen? Follow up on your kids. Some of y'all are really good detectives. You better be. You better be. Because you're losing your kids. We're losing our kids. By the time they get 12, 13, 14 years old, we're losing them. We're losing them to the world. We're losing them to sports. I talked about that last week. We're losing them to all that stuff that they take away from the church and everything. We're losing them to all the TV stuff that's on and all the junk that's going on. You're the most popular person in school if you're homosexual now. Oh, some of y'all done blowed up. You're always talking about that. I hadn't talked about this in a long time. But I know that I know that I know it's a spirit. And I know it's attacking our children. And if we don't do something about it, if we don't cut that spirit's head off, it's going to take our children. What one generation tolerates, the next generation accepts. We are tolerating it. People in the church are tolerating it. And let me tell you something else while I'm here. They ain't nobody been born that way. God didn't born nobody that way. God didn't have nobody born that way. You're not born that way. If that was true, then a thief that's up here at the prison, we need to let him out because he's born that way. What do you think a thief is going to say when he stands up in a courtroom of law? I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going here, okay? I don't know. What would a thief, what kind of grounds would a thief have if a judge was sitting there and he said, Your Honor, those 15 times I stole at Walmart, it's not my fault. I was born a thief and I'll always be a thief. That's the way God made me. He made me a thief. You think that's going to fly out with somebody? Well, why do we say they're born that way? Don't curse my God like that. My God didn't do that. Half our problems is we ain't got enough guts. We ain't got enough guts to discipline our children. We ain't got enough guts to do what we're supposed to do. Boy, hallelujah, I was doing really good last little while. It's the truth. It's the truth. See, I get the phone calls. I get the phone calls. I get to hear about it. And I'm telling you, just got young kids, you best be guarding them. You best be praying over them. And you best have them in the house of God. And listen, let me go a little bit further. You best quit talking about the children's pastor. You best quit talking about the youth pastor. You best quit talking about the pastor. I'm talking to everybody. Because if you talk about them, why in the world would they want to go here? If all you do is eat the preacher alive and eat whoever, and I don't know if anybody's talking about me. I know they always are, but it don't. I'm just saying, if we always do that, then why in the world would the kids want to go to a church where you can't stand the preacher, you can't stand the worship leader? Yeah, Tommy, those people don't like you too, ain't they? Good. You goody two-shoe. What are we doing? And then when they get old enough to where they can do their own thing, they don't come to church. We wonder, what happened to Johnny? I did the best I could. Yeah, you did. You did the best at running your mouth. You did the best at letting him be who he wanted to be, go where he wanted to go, do what he wanted to do. I'm not trying to heap condemnation on you. I'm trying to tell you that's got little kids, you better listen to me because you'll be sorry one day. Everybody good? Okay, now we can start preaching on the message. You got all that out of this right here. Hallelujah. Amen. I love you. And let me say something else too. You need to, if you see a child doing something they ain't supposed to be doing, don't say, I'm not going to get involved. Get involved. Get involved. Wouldn't you want somebody to get involved with yours? You saw yours getting ready to get in trouble or messing up? I got a friend that lost his son, 22-year-old son. Awesome, awesome young man. Been raised in church his whole life, raised in church. Cut his teeth on the church pews. Started dabbling with drugs. Moved in with a guy. The parents never had a clue. The kids knew it. Other people knew it. Nobody ever went and said a word to him. He gets killed in a drug deal, gone bad, 22 years old, dead. Mom and daddy sitting there, what do we do? There ain't no kids in here. Caleb's in here. Caleb, you tell everybody I said this. I will bust your butt. I will bust your kid's butt if I see them doing something I ain't supposed to do. I don't care if you get mad at me. Some of y'all clapping, some of you ain't. I don't care. If I see them doing something stupid, they go to my... I jacked a girl up. She's 13 years old with a 19-year-old at the football game one night. And I grabbed her and then I grabbed him. I grabbed her and said, what do you think you're doing? Oh, she didn't look 13. She looked 21. Beautiful thing. And I looked at him. I said, come here, young man. I said, what the crap you think you're doing? What do you mean? I said, how old is this girl right here? She told me she's 16. I said, she lied. She's 13, and you'll spend 7 to 10 years in prison if you get caught messing with her. So you need to skedaddle. Amen? I busted a kid's butt at the ball game. He's sitting there, wasn't but a dang bully. And he's pushing on somebody and I yelled at him. I said, Bucky, you need to quit if you don't quit. Some of you heard this. I said, Bucky, you need to quit if you don't quit. I'm going to bust your butt. I sat on the bleachers. All the parents was waiting on a state baseball game. He pushed him again. I jumped off. I popped him two times. I said, go tell your dad I did that. And I said, then I'll take care of him when he comes. Takes us all to raise. I'm blown away at people that keep their mouth shut. I'm spitting everywhere. You don't mind, do you? Sitting in a basketball game, this girl done kissing this guy. I don't know how long they've been kissing. I'm talking about locked up kissing. Not no. No, I'm talking about locked up kissing. For a long time. And finally, I kept wondering what everybody was looking at and talking about. And I looked over and I seen them. And she was one of my daughter's friends. I'm like, oh, heck no. So I walked over there. I slapped him on the back of the head. I said, what do you think you're doing? He just looked at me. I said, I called her name. I said, what are you doing? Do you not respect yourself no more than this? You're in a gymnasium with all these people looking at you, laughing at you, gawking at you. And all these people never said a word to her. Oh, but they thanked me when I walked away. Thank you for doing. Why didn't you do something? Sitting in the middle of the gym, national anthem. Everybody was singing the national anthem. I look over and I see a bunch of kids over here talking and laughing and stuff during the national anthem. Right in the middle of a ball game. Right before the ball game started. Varsity high school ball game. When we said whatever the last words was, the team goes over here to talk. I booked straight across the court. And I went over and I told everyone, I said, I'm going to tell every one of you something. The next time I catch you disrespecting the flag and acting stupid in front of me at a national anthem at a basketball game, I said, I'll whoop every one of you. What's happened with that? Why don't we have that anymore? Well, they'll take you to court. Who cares? Go to court. That's making fun of the flag. That was laughing at the flag. That was doing it. Well, so what if they fuss at you? Y'all looking at me like I fell and bumped my head. Am I the only one that feels like that in here?
Yeah. We'll bail you out.
There you go.
Let us be one phone call.
Hallelujah. It's been a trip, ain't it? Oh, Lord. It goes a long way. Your children see it. Your children see how you act. Now, don't nobody be mad at me in here. I'm just telling you. Your children see how you act. Amen? I have watched Allison take on our personality so much. It's crazy. She can give the best counseling to anybody, can't she? I'm talking about she's the best counselor I ever heard. If you need some counseling, talk to my daughter. Don't come to me. Talk to Allison. We sitting in Bojangles buffet. Man and woman over there eating a buffet off the same plate. Paid for one plate, eating a buffet off the same plate. I said, Allison, you see what they're doing? Yeah, Daddy, please don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. I'm like, what are people thinking? Got kids with them ripping people off and they doing that. I don't know why. This is where our world's at. And we sit and we watch it and we think I'm crazy, but we don't say nothing about it. And I know, you got to be careful and people's crazy and they'll shoot you and all that stuff, but it comes our church family, I'd just soon get shot than to let them just do whatever they want to do, than to tell them the truth. You come to me, your kids come to me, I'm going to tell them the truth. I had a man call me last night. I told y'all, and I'm serious, I pastor more people outside of this church than I do inside this church. Had a man call me last night, got all kind of stuff going on. He had just talked to his pastor, and he told me something. And when he told me that, I said, hang on for a minute. I said, you said you just talked to your pastor. Did you tell your pastor what you just told me? He said, yes. I said, did you not just tell me a little while ago your pastor said that y'all might not be to the point to where you need counseling? Yeah, that's what he said. I said, he's stupid. What you just told me, you're almost past needing counseling. Your family's getting ready to bust up. So you need to do something right now to fix it or you're going to lose your family. What are people thinking? What are people thinking? If you can look at your spouse, husband, wife, you can look at either one of them and you can see them crying and it don't affect you, there's a problem. Big time. You either don't have a heart or you don't love them. And you need help. You need counseling. For a man of God to say, well, you're not to the point yet. He needs help and he needs counseling. You ain't got to worry. They ain't going to watch. What's the deal, people? Kingdom disciples. You want to be a kingdom disciple? You got to get involved with people. You got to love people, help people, minister to people. I wrote a letter to a guy today. He's in the prison up here in Rutherfordton in lockdown on a second degree murder. I don't even know who he is. Ain't never heard of him. He wrote me a letter yesterday. He found my book. Somebody gave him my book and he read my book. He told me the book touched his heart, but he wanted to make deals with God. He said, this is what he said. This is where people's at, y'all. We got to step in. We got to help people. He said, if I go to prison, I'm going to give them what they want. I'm going to be a gangbanger. But if God will let me out, I'll serve him. There you go. There you go. That's pretty good. So I wrote him back today, and I said, hey, bro, how you doing, man? Hope you're doing good. You read my book, right, so you know that I shoot straight, so I'm going to tell you, that's crazy. You don't make deals with God. You're either going to serve him or you're not. You don't just say, well, if you get me out, I'll serve you. Yeah, I got shot a man, left out. I didn't think about serving God at the time. I just wanted to be safe. I just wanted to get out. You know how many people are in that situation and somebody needs to just tell them the truth? Tell them the truth. And then maybe they get their life straightened out like I did. Hallelujah. Why did I tell you all this? I believe a bunch need to hear it. I love you. Amen. Boy, this ain't fun to do. You know what? It ain't fun, is it? Y'all good? Everybody breathe. It's all right. We need help. We need help, right? We need help to raise our kids. We need help to live a godly life. We need help to do what we're called to do. But in the middle of all that, we got to tell the truth. In love, minister to people. Love people. Listen, you have the answer. You are the answer the world needs. Because you're Christian, you're Christ, you're Christ-like. You have it. You have it inside of you. Use it. Don't sit back and say, I'm not going to get involved. You're supposed to get involved in people's lives. You're supposed to help people. People are dying and going to hell. Way more than's going to heaven. And if the Christian don't stand up and say, hey, and intervene and show scripture and pray and talk and be willing to get dirty and muddy and stinky and everything else, and listen to the blah, blah, blah before you get to the real root of the problem, who's going to help them? Are we being disciples of Christ? Are we teaching others what we know? That's what this whole thing's about. Everything that I spoke to you tonight is what we need to be teaching others. I had a parent come up to me one day. My daughter was at softball practice, and this man, I don't know him. I know he's got a lot of money, and he's very wealthy, and everybody, you know, bowed down to him and all this stuff. And, you know, it was just kind of comical sometimes the way it was. But he walked over there, and I was helping coach, and he said something to me, and I walked over there. This is the way people think. He said, my 16-year-old son went out last night. I had to give him a condom. Y'all listen to me. I know some of y'all thinking, why do you say, I say, because I'm real. This is real life that we're dealing with. This is what your daughters are dealing with. Some ignorant man give his 16-year-old son a condom because he knew he was going to go out and sleep with this girl. But his daughter, who is very beautiful, he said, anybody touch my daughter, I'll kill him. And I looked at him, I said, what about the daughter that your son's getting ready to screw with the condom you're going to give him. Well, I'm sorry. No, my wife's fussing at me. It's good. Y'all trip. Yes, I am. But I'm a truthful trip. He didn't think it was wrong for his son to go out and have sex with my daughter or your daughter. But your son better not mess with his daughter. That's the kind of mess we're dealing with. A little girl sleeps with a couple people, you call her a slut and a whore. A guy sleeps with a couple people, you call him a stud, chick magnet. You better wake up. It's coming to all your homes. It's coming to all your families. And you better be prayed up and you better be willing and ready to deal with it. I apologize for crude language. I apologize for crude language, but I just tell the truth. And if I'm wrong in saying it the way I did, please forgive me. But I didn't know anybody who had virgin ears, so I probably shouldn't have said that either. Where's Juanita when you need her? She said she had a room I could stay in. Hey, listen. I just said what you need to hear and what you want to say. Y'all got kids, you got grandkids, you got nephews, you got uncles, and they're facing this all the time. And we're sitting there with blinders on, letting them go where they want to go, do what they want to do. And we never say a word about it. And then when they banged up or something's going on, then we wonder, how'd that happen? How you think it happened? Well, Jesus, I had a pretty good message for tonight. Dan will be calling me tomorrow. Pastor, you was doing good, but daggum. Are y'all good? I can't even imagine what the people watching this is thinking. Yeah, we might have to delete that off of Facebook. I just, man, you know, it is what it is, ain't it? Yes. We got stuff going on, man. We gotta stop it. You can't stop everybody, but you can at least maybe stop one, help one. You know, maybe you're gonna be around somebody at a ball game at school or somewhere, and some parent says something, and you say, "Well, you ever thought about it like this? Maybe if you, who knows?" And they may not want to hear it, but at least you try. Can you just think about this for a minute? This just kind of come to my mind. I know I'm a little crude, but can you imagine trying to raise children when you don't serve God? When you don't have a Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you in all truth? Can you imagine? That's why our Christian children, our children that have been raised up in the admonition of the Lord, are struggling so bad because they see this craziness. And it's like nobody stands up and says nothing. Nobody tries to protect them. Nobody tries to help them. Everybody just fend for yourself. Stand up for your children. If you don't protect them, who else is going to protect them? If you don't keep them out of the places they ain't supposed to go to, who's going to? Y'all feel what I'm saying? I hope. Paul, you good? Okay. Everybody good? Steven, you good? Everybody? Tommy, you good? Okay. RC, you good back there? Glenna, you good? She's good. Y'all stand with me. Hallelujah. I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm thinking about picking up one of these rocks, just hit myself in the head with it. You know, I'm going to tell you this. If I'd have probably known I didn't know I was going to do all this, I'd have probably not done that, but I did, so whatever. I hope there ain't no parents sitting in front of the TV right now with an 8, 7, 6, 5, 4-year-old that says, "Mommy, what's he talking about?" Sorry. Probably do. Yep. All right. Y'all, let's sing Kumbaya and go home, okay? No, I love you. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And God, we need help. We need help, Lord. We got all kind of craziness going on and all kind of stuff that our children are bombarded with. And if the alignment is not straight at their house, there's no telling what they're getting in the world. So, Lord, we got to protect our children and try to surround them with the best influences we can put them around and get them in your word. And Lord, as I'm going to talk about Sunday, share a testimony with them. Let them know what you've done in our life. God, please move by your spirit. Please help our parents. My heart goes out to them. Me and Glenn was talking, and I can't imagine Allison raising a child in this world. It's just so crazy, but God, you said that if we train up a child in the way it should go, when it's older, we'll not depart from it. They'll never forget it. And so, Lord, I pray that. I'm not a doom and gloom person. You know that. I believe greater is he that's within us and he that's within the world. Every single person in here, I believe, needed to be shaken a little bit so we'll open up our eyes and realize what's going on and be willing to even if it means making our child mad at us, we're not supposed to be their best friend, whatever it means that we've got to do to protect our family, to protect our children. Because nobody else is protecting them. Nobody else has their best interests at heart like we do. Holy Spirit, please help us to love them unconditionally, but to have rules and discipline so that we can keep things in the right alignment. We love you and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you and keep you. May his light shine upon you. And hallelujah.